The rules for the use of cannabidiol, or CBD, in Indiana are confusing. And depending on who you ask, you'll get a different interpretation of the law. Thousands of Hoosiers use it to help them with everything from chronic pain to anxiety. But in a recent opinion, Indiana's Attorney General said that's illegal. Curtis Hill wrote, CBD is not legal to possess or sell in the state of Indiana. There is one narrow exception to Indiana's strict CBD ban that you've probably been hearing a lot about, and that's for people suffering from treatment-resistant epilepsy. It took years for a group of mothers to open doors at the Indiana Statehouse and convince lawmakers to listen to their claims about CBD. The mothers insisted it could help their kids who suffered from uncontrolled seizures. Tonight, the WFIU news team brings us this special, Cannabidiol, Kids, and Politics. We'll meet the families who fought to legalize CBD in Indiana. We'll look into the oil's effectiveness and safety. And we'll find out why not everyone considers the new law the last word.
It's early afternoon at the Mershon House in Brownsburg, Indiana. Six-year-old Jameson is just waking up from his nap. You can see the focus in his eyes as he comes into the living room. His dad's home from work, and he heads straight to him.
Do you want to see Daddy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Forget Mom.
Jameson scoots back and forth from his dad's lap to his mom's lap as they're seated on the couch. He doesn't seem to notice us set up with our cameras or our producers watching from behind their notepads.
See, wait till you see my dimples. You will be in love with me in a second.
Jameson became sort of the poster child for cannabidiol in Indiana. From infancy, he's had a type of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome. His mother, Mariah, showed a video at the State House this year of Jameson while he was having one of his seizures. His little body convulsing while he made a wheezing noise. It was part of a plea to lawmakers. Mariah wanted the legal right to use cannabidiol or CBD to make Jameson's life better.
I've made this statement since I've been here. You know, what's wine without the alcohol? It's just grapes. What's this cannabis without the THC?
But here's the rub. CBD is an oil derived from the cannabis plant, and the DEA classifies cannabis as a Schedule 1 drug, a high-risk substance with high abuse potential and no medical use. But CBD is non-psychoactive. It comes from a part of the cannabis plant that's low in THC, so it can't get people high, unlike marijuana.
Ready? Look. Ready for your medicine?
Jameson took it for about 6 months. While he was on it, we had no seizures for 6 months. His attention span, his coordination, we saw vast improvements in all that. He actually spoke when he was on the CBD oil. He said three words, and that's the first and only time that I've heard him say mama. So the CBD oil did show vast improvements in a lot of areas for him. We had gone to the doctor, and the doctor had asked us how he was doing, and he listened to all my reports of his attention span being better and his coordination and his dexterity and all that, and his 6 months without a seizure. And he knew immediately that Jameson should not be doing that well on the medicines that he was taking. And so he kind of deduced that that's what we were doing. He explained to me that he wasn't necessarily against us using it, but if he was to go to the emergency room and they were to test him and he tested positive for even a trace amount of THC in his system, that they would be required by law to call Child Protective Services. And that just isn't an option with someone like Jameson. So for his safety in that situation, we decided we had to stop. And so he hasn't been on it since. Since then, of course, his seizures have started up again. Almost immediately, they started back. He hasn't spoken since.
Jameson went back on his pharmaceutical medications. He takes a lot of pills, 3 times a day, and they take a toll on him. He's lethargic, he doesn't have a lot of energy, and Mariah worries about the long-term effects.
We give our child drugs every day to keep him seizure-free, to keep him alive, yet in the long run, these drugs are killing him. It causes liver failure, causes kidney problems. You know, these are some pretty heavy drugs for such a little guy.
And Jameson's seizures are uncontrolled.
It's sad, you know, because what's inside this little boy that we can't get to because he can't talk to us and he can't tell us? I mean, we know his personality because he's just, you know, a barrel of fun, but what is he really like in there?
During the day, Jameson stands at the window and watches the reflection of his cell phone screen on the pane glass. Like any little kid, he loves being outside, but the conditions have to be just right. If it's too hot, he'll have a seizure. If it's too cold, he'll have a seizure.
You know, we live in Indiana, so our spring and fall are about 2 days apiece, you know. So he gets very little time to be outside and play. Sometimes he gets outside and he's so excited that he's outside that drives him into a seizure.
Jameson has a list of triggers a mile long: fatigue, flashing lights, patterns, overstimulation, understimulation.
Every time we think we've got something figured out with him, every time we think, okay, we're here, he hasn't had seizures for a while, we're doing really well, then boom, something happens and there's a new trigger. Or or there's or he outsmarts us, don't you? Can I have kisses? Hey. Thank you.
That makes everyday activities like going to the grocery store not just complicated, but risky for Jameson.
Hi. Hello.
You know, we just really have to adapt everything to him. And his needs.
It's hard for Mariah, her husband, and their two girls, but CBD gave them a glimpse of what life could be like for Jameson and their family.
Who put goldfish in my car?
Jameson's case isn't unusual. Data shows current pharmaceutical drugs only work for about a third of all seizure patients.
You're on a medicine that's supposed to help, and yet that one not only, you know, didn't help, but it actually made him have more seizures and different types of seizures.
Brandy Barrett's son, Noah, has the same seizure disorder as Jameson. He's 10 now, and like Jameson, he's had it since infancy. Prescription drugs didn't help him. He was in a fog, and still, his seizures were uncontrolled.
This was a little boy who every day had to lay in bed, and that's how he spent his days, because any activity would cause him to be overexerted. So either one of my parents or my husband or I, one of us would sit in bed with him the entire day, and he could have one activity at a time, whether it be a book or a show. Any more than that, he'd be overexerted and would go into one. And you keep thinking, there has to be another option, there has to be something else. And we were fortunate enough to meet an individual who was going to do some research on CBD. And it was, you know, I don't believe in random things, but it was very happen chance how we happened to meet him. And he was actually a chiropractor who worked on my uncle's back. And my uncle had brought up, I know this chiropractor of mine is wanting to research CBD, but can't really do much with it here in this state and is looking to possibly move to a different state to do it. So we got in contact with him, and he told us, once he heard Noah's story, he said, Noah's going to be my reason for doing it. I'm going to pursue it, and I'm going to do it for Noah.
I mean, here's a kid who looks pretty normal. He ends up, he's got a genetic-related syndrome called Dravet syndrome that the child, he doesn't develop normally intellectually, and he's got seizures ranging from 50 to a couple hundred seizures a day. And for the parents, every day, those kids, you know, they literally legitimately could die. Their blood oxygen goes down to 2/3 of what normal is.
Trent Jones went to California because it was the only place that at the time had legalized medical cannabis, despite federal laws to the contrary.
So I went there and registered with the police and gave them chromatographs and all the things we were doing. I didn't know how to grow anything in the desert. But by doing that, the plants mutated and we end up with these strains that were incredibly high in CBD and high in what's called terpenes and flavonoids and all these associate synergistic chemistries that made a really effective CBD as a food ingredient. So we started giving it to Noah. He was the first kid. And that was 3.5 years ago. And in it, the boy has emerged.
Noah is nonverbal, but he certainly communicates. If he wants attention or he's excited, he'll squeal. The Barretts were in a terrible position. They knew the risks of keeping Noah on CBD. They could lose their son if doctors found even a trace amount of THC in his system. But they also recognized Noah had no quality of life when he wasn't taking the CBD oil. Just like Mariah, Brandy was motivated to fight. Change in Indiana would have to come through legislation. A group of parents, including Brandy and Mariah, pulled together and met at the State House in 2014.
The first bill that we actually went down there for was just to explain what industrial hemp was and to try to get legislation passed that at least research facilities or universities here could begin growing and researching it again to try to get the ball rolling. And we found it so interesting when we got down there. You know, we had researched it enough to know the difference, but we got down there to the State House where, for them, they heard the word hemp and it was, oh, you know, this is marijuana. No, this state does not do anything regarding marijuana. So we had to spend a lot of time educating and explaining that industrial hemp used to be grown here. It's great for textile purposes. It has so many wonderful uses. It's not what you think it is. We got a lot of legislators on board, and we actually got that legislation through that year so places like Purdue could get permits to start researching and growing.
Some lawmakers and attorneys say the 2014 bill also legalized CBD because it removed industrial hemp products from the state's controlled substance list. Nevertheless, the Barretts wanted to avoid any gray areas or issues with misinterpretation. So the next year, they went back to the legislature and began asking specifically for CBD oil.
His independence is limited because of the assistance he needs and because of safety issues. Opportunities and experiences for Noah are very limited because of this as well.
The bill sailed through the House with no opposition, but then the state's Prosecutors Association came out in force against CBD oil. In testimony at the State House, the Prosecutors Association's drug resource operator, Daniel Miller, compared it to legalizing medical marijuana.
Recent anecdotal reports of the positive effects of cannabidiol derived from cannabis or hemp plants on children has generated sympathy for the legalization of cannabis, but little in the way of scientific proof by the proponents of legalization. The public push to legalize marijuana extracts for unregulated use is getting ahead of the science and could jeopardize significant research into promising treatments.
The bill died when the legislature reconvened in 2016. A lawmaker again sponsored a bill to legalize CBD for kids suffering from intractable epilepsy. A growing number of states were getting on board, and the National Epilepsy Foundation issued a plea for CBD to be made available to all seizure patients across the U.S.
When it reached the Senate and that committee chairperson, well, this was the second year that she had seen the bill. When it reached her again, and we thought, oh, here we go again, surely she can't not hold a vote. Surely she can't kill the bill 2 years in a row. And we knew that we had a neurologist who was willing to speak in favor of CBD oil as a treatment. And so we were finally told by this committee chairperson, it was a short session was going to be done, so we knew something had to happen immediately. And she said, if I hear from a neurologist in favor of it, then I will hold a vote. And we knew that all we needed was for them to hold a vote. That's all we needed was for them to hold a vote. So we waited a few days. We had the phone call lined up between she and this neurologist, and we know the phone call took place. We obviously don't know what was said, but she then decided she still would not hold a vote afterwards. And we heard from some other neurologists that they had received some emails from individuals and from groups that made them fearful to speak out in favor of it. And that's the hard part for me. I think there is a factor of some intimidation from specific groups, and they're able to use their control and their power to intimidate. And it's really unfortunate because you have constituents who should be able to go and testify at the State House and should not feel threatened or intimidated for doing so, just because there's a difference of belief, you know, on an issue.
Brandy's frustration was mounting, and finally, this year, she joined the families testifying publicly at the State House in support of CBD.
Through our journey with Noah, one thing I know is we can be a voice. We can be a voice for him.
I'm not sure that my husband was ready for me to say publicly at that point, you know, and I understood his fear and concern with it too. But I saw what point we were at with the legislation, that this had been killed 2 years in a row. If it gets killed again, I'm not sure we're gonna have another chance. You know, we have to get something through.
Brandy outed her family and talked passionately about the success Noah had had over the past 3 years on CBD oil. The timing was right. There was a change of leadership in the Senate, and the committee chairperson was willing to have a hearing on the bill. The bill's champion, State Senator Jim Tomes, says he knew then they had the green light.
And I can tell you that the letters and phone calls that came in when people found out we finally got a hearing on this, and some even, when he was on the phone, started crying. They were so happy.
And many of the legislators were very kind and supportive that I did speak out. One said, in front of the prosecutors in the room, he said, "I have to tell you, I used to be a sheriff. And if any of my deputies would go after the likes of a Mrs. Barrett for doing what she's doing for her child, he said, I would skin their hide." And I knew then that I was okay. I knew that it was okay that I had made that decision to speak out and to share that information, because it was going to be helpful to those legislators who maybe were wavering or who maybe were thinking that the prosecutors were right.
One of the things that came up this year and last year was there was fear from some prosecutors in the state that felt this was going to be is going to lead to more drug addictions, or could open the door for more illegal activity. And the thing we kept having to bring back to focus was that this component, this hemp plant, does not offer an addictive item with it. I remember one person said that you could smoke 700 acres of hemp, and about all you'd get is, you know, red eyes, because it just didn't have that nature that marijuana had.
CBD has the same chemical formula as THC, but the atoms are arranged differently. This slight variance causes THC to create a psychoactive effect, while CBD does not. If you look at diagrams of the two chemical structures, you can see the difference. Christina Gerber showed a PowerPoint at the State House that included images of THC and CBD next to each other. It was a powerful visual aid.
You know, he went from having 50 seizures a day, and we've got him down to where he's having about 5 seizures a day. But this could be that extra push that kind of pushes him over the edge to where he can be seizure-free, happy, healthy, functioning adult that can go on and do great things.
Gerber's a pharmacist and a mother to 5-year-old Etta and Etta's 9-year-old brother, Wyatt. Wyatt was diagnosed with a form of epilepsy called absence seizures 2 years ago.
With many disease states, it's you have your first line, your second line, and your last hope medication. So we'd X'd out the first line, and now we were just going down the list, and it was just really disheartening because he wasn't getting better, he was getting worse. And it's I knew what was coming next. I knew it was Depakote, and I knew what was coming next, and I really wanted to try to avoid it because of the side effect profile. You know, it can cause some severe cognitive dysfunction. Well, my emotional thing as a mother was, you know, we've taken all this stuff away from him, but he's still smart. So I was worried about that. It can cause morbid obesity and all of the metabolic effects that come into play with that. It can shut your liver down.
By comparison, patients using CBD oil report few side effects. The most common thing is tiredness, and some people experience diarrhea.
And so there was just all of these things to consider, and we just wanted to find out more information before we started him on that. And we didn't feel like anyone was really giving us the information we needed, or just, I guess, the respect.
Because cannabis is illegal, it's difficult to study CBD. And without peer-reviewed, double-blind research, neurologists were reluctant to even discuss it as a treatment option. We contacted more than a dozen neurologists for this story, but no one agreed to an interview.
We wanted to be more informed. We wanted to know if we're going to go down this route, what's the safe way to do it? What's effective?
Christina began doing her own research and found a doctor who'd been leading controlled, randomized CBD studies since 2013. She shared the data with lawmakers this year during her public testimony.
Isn't it true that there's not a single peer-reviewed article on the planet regarding CBD oil?
Oh, no, that's not true at all. A lot of these articles were published in The Lancet, I think. Let me pull them out here, okay, because I can tell you.
Well, you're disagreeing with my statement. You're saying there are peer-reviewed articles.
There are peer-reviewed, yes.
On CBD oil in particular.
Correct.
In a three-month study of cannabidiol versus placebos, fewer than 20% of kids in the placebo group showed any change, while those in the CBD-treated group showed a 40% reduction in seizures. That's a statistically significant difference, and it showed the seizure reduction was not happening by chance. The CBD bill passed through both chambers, and Governor Eric Holcomb signed it into law in April.
And I think folks finally recognize that there is potential for this to be an effective product. And it took 3 years, but that's better than taking four.
Indiana joined 37 other states that now have some sort of medical cannabis or CBD legislation on the books.
Well, the new law, if it's followed, is pretty clear. That's why we didn't oppose it.
That's David Powell, the executive director for the Indiana Prosecuting Attorneys Council.
You first of all have to be diagnosed by a neurologist, a board-certified neurologist, with irretractable epilepsy or a seizure-type disorder. If you are, then they can write a letter and you can get on a registry in Indiana, which would allow you to purchase a CBD product that you could use for this child or this person who has irretractable epilepsy.
The State Department of Health oversees the registry. To be able to participate, a patient must have tried at least two other epilepsy treatments that failed. People who are on the registry are allowed to have CBD oil, and they don't have to worry about being prosecuted for it. The law stipulates that the CBD cannot contain any more than 0.3% THC.
I got an email from one of my fellow moms, and she told me that the registry was up. And so we filled out the registry information, got it all sent off. About 3 weeks later, we got the word that the cards were in the mail. So we immediately started Jameson 6 weeks ago on the CBD oil.
And in that 6 weeks, Jameson has had no seizures. Every morning now, Jameson wakes up and Mariah gives him 5 drops of CBD oil. He has his breakfast and then he gets on the bus with his sisters. Mariah watches his progress and calls it nothing short of amazing.
He has increased his coordination and his attention span. His personality is coming out quite a bit. The teachers have commented on him having much more personality. And he seems to be doing really well.
Mariah buys it online from a dietary supplement company. The law didn't legalize the sale of CBD in Indiana, even for seizure patients on the registry. The bottle costs about $250. And because it's a supplement, insurance does not cover the cost. You might be able to find CBD for less, but you don't know what's in it. Gerber's husband, Wes, shops at vitamin stores and knows now that the products they stock aren't the same as what parents are giving their kids to help control seizures. Reputable companies can provide lab results for each batch they make.
One bottle could have none. One bottle could have the 20-to-1 ratio. They're just using a hemp-based product, which has its benefits too, but what these dispensaries that have been working with the doctors that have this specific ratio, they're actually submitting samples to the FDA on a regular basis showing we have a very specific CBD content that we can regulate.
The inconsistency between CBD blends is another thing that makes it difficult to study. Research on CBD continues to grow, and Gerber hopes with that comes more acceptance of it as a treatment option. But CBD is not a magical cure. It's not the best treatment for everyone suffering from epilepsy. The Gerbers' quest to learn more about CBD for their son led them to New York. A neurologist there is on the forefront of CBD research. His recommendation for Wyatt wasn't CBD oil, at least at this time. Instead, he prescribed a couple pharmaceuticals and a strict ketogenic diet. Wyatt hasn't had a seizure in 6 months.
We got lucky in the process of starting to fight for it and starting to go through this, gathering research and going down to the state house and stuff. He became seizure free, but it's not like you drop out at that point just because. Why not have another tool in your toolbox, especially something that's so safe and is so effective, to be able to add into your regimen to help, you know, stop the seizures.
But there's still the big question about CBD's long-term effects. There's no data. It's just too new. Dr. Ken Mackey studies cannabidiol at Indiana University.
So that there's a easy to do method for if, you know, patients started on cannabidiol and any sort of adverse effect that's potentially, or maybe not potentially, due to that drug, that it gets entered into a database. So once there's 10, 20,000 patients have been treated with this, it's easy to go through and see, well, yeah, there's this kind of thing we didn't really expect to see is showing up at a certain incidence, and we should be careful about that.
Even though we don't have long-term studies with CBD oil, we do know what happens long-term if you let seizures go untreated. And it's devastating, especially for these pediatric, the Dravet and the Lennox-Gastaut that develop early in life. It's absolutely devastating. There's so much morbidity and mortality with that, you know, from the sudden death syndromes to just the severe, like, mental retardation and developmental delays and neurological damage. So, yeah, we may not know what happens if you take CBD oil for 50 years, but we do know what happens if you let your seizures go untreated. And I think that there's a definite risk benefit. The benefit of using the CBD oil absolutely 100% outweighs the risk.
It's been more than 3 years now since Noah first started on CBD. Brandy gets choked up talking about their journey because her family can experience things together now. Noah doesn't get left out. It's no big deal to go to the zoo or to spend a day at the water park. Noah averages maybe a seizure a month. Compare that to the 50 plus he used to have in a day. And Brandy says he doesn't experience any side effects from the oil either.
We still see improvement every single day. And for us, that was certainly, you know, our first goal. But to now see that this has become, like you said, a movement, basically, for all these individuals is remarkable. And I tell Noah all the time, you know, I explain to him how, buddy, you're a big deal. You know, you're part of something really big that's going to help lots of people. And I think for us, that kind of gives you a sense of relief, too, when you go through a trial, because now you can see an end result where you're seeing that Noah's story is making a difference, not only for Noah, but for so many others. And who knows, you know, what it's going to, you know, entail down the road, you know, for him. But I certainly see a lot more opportunities for him to be able to, you know, go to school, do normal kid activities, be involved more in extra activities, you know, and family time, just, you know, normal family activities. And, you know, as we can continue to see progression with him, too, you know, I think, you know, I won't count anything out for him.
The governor said recently that he would leave it up to the General Assembly to review Indiana's CBD laws. He said he's in favor of clarifying the language of the existing law to protect people who qualify for the state's CBD registry and are using the oil legitimately. The legislative session starts next week. You can learn more about CBD and watch a video version of our documentary online at wfiu.org/CBD. Support for this program comes from the WFIU-WTIU News Endowment and from listeners of this station. Thank you.